He turned the car on in the garage, and my fucking porn came through the Bluetooth.
Asker, I heard Dean Blundell smokes crack. Was actually the first to smoke it with Rob Ford, I heard, too.
What's Dean got to do with it?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a Dean.
State's rated R for, you know, restricted and for a little bit romantic.
What do we got?
What, whoa, is, what that? Is that in the background?
What is that over there by the mic?
Is he making wallets?
What is he doing? What's he doing?
It looks like he's... Never mind.
What's he doing? What? Is he dead?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Let's start right out. Hey, what happened?
Welcome, everybody.
Hi. Good to see everybody. Welcome to the program. I'm Dean. That's Lachlan. That's James. We're all in the house. Hey, in the house. We're all in the house. Hey, in the house. Interesting podcast today. What? Why are you laughing?
No, you remind me of my buddy used to do this thing in high school. My name is Rapper Dave, and I'm here to say a party all night and a party all day with pop chips, pop chips. You just reminded me of that when you were rapping.
I have zero memories of my high school.
Yeah, no surprise.
Good. I wouldn't. Good for you. Good for you.
Like zero. I don't know if it was the trauma or
might have been the acid.
I shit my pants at a party one time. I remember that, but was it? Did you? I couldn't sing a song that was sung last night.
Was it like, hold it though? Was it like a pants shitting that was brought on by food or illness, or
alcohol?
Were you just always I understand pissing the pants. It's shitting the pants. It's a
full on
weird.
Yeah,
you must have been drunk.
If it makes you feel any better, literally everyone you went to high school with remembers that probably. So.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
That's why they call you Shitlocker. Hey, there's Shitlocker again.
There's this girl that we went to elementary school with, first grade, pissed her pants. Her name was Leanne. She was P-Ann until the 12th grade. I just wanted to. She couldn't get away from it. It's like,
that's rough.
You'll P-Ann. And she's like, I get it. It's only been going on for 11 years.
Yeah, she's dead now. She jumped off.
Yeah.
Actually, what did you guys have high school nicknames?
Not really. Cockhead.
I was crotch.
Crotch.
Chuck.
Lachlan crotch.
Yeah. It kind of rhymes with my last name. Crotchlin. Crotch.
And then there was Cock.
There was a guy named Jason Reniker. And of course,
Cocklin crotch. What about Cocklin crotch?
That ended up being Jason Rectum. And then there was a guy that's last name was Dick. It was just Dick. And we were the anatomy line on, our coach used to throw us out
Cocklin
in
crunch.
Volleyball and in basketball. Anatomy line.
You're going to have to change the show now to Talking Crotch with Locke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a crying shame.
I like
should have thought that ahead. Anyway, nice to see you. How you doing? I got people walking by me in my own house. Hey, good to see you.
Love that too.
Anyway, welcome to the program. My name is Dean. We've got a kind of an interesting program today. Karima Saad, Karima Rules, at Karima Rules is going to join us today with a friend of hers and now a friend of mine. Her name is Angela Caputo, the owner of a place called The Breakfast Pig up in Sault Ste. Marie, because our friend Chris Guy tried to screw them both over, both of their businesses over. So we're going to bring some light to it. And good news, we've got a Chris Guy update. He is now platformless. He's yelling into the great blue yonder.
Come join me at a freedom rally, someone, anyone.
That's how he's doing it. He's got literally, he was kicked off Twitter. He was booted from IG, kicked off Telegram. I don't even know how you do that. You can murder people. You can produce and film a snuff video on Telegram. It's going to be just fine. So he's been kicked off. Anyway, we'll catch up with Karima because she also debuted her first show. Yeah, he's off Parler. He's off. Yes, he got kicked off everything.
Even the Silk Road won't have him.
No. Yeah. Yeah, you can't be on anything. He's not even allowed on the dark web. Not even allowed on Q. Is. Anyway, so we'll get an update from Karima and Ange Caputo coming up in just a few minutes about our friend Chris Sky as we try to right a wrong. feel like we've been fought. You know how many people have emailed me over the past like 3 months? Or is like, go after this guy next. Go get that guy next. You got rid of Chris Sky. Why don't you guys go after this guy? I'm like, hang on. Kareem is busy. She's a lawyer. She doesn't just follow people around and unload them from social media. And number two, I don't necessarily believe in deplatforming people, not even Chris Sky, because I happen to believe that people should be smart enough at that end to go, oh, this guy's clearly fucking nuts. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I believe in that too. I know you guys call me out because I've even said that Trump shouldn't have been
right
punted, and you're like, well, he did incite a riot. I'm like, well, okay, thank you for that. That was that. But I honestly didn't think he should have been taken off of Facebook or Twitter.
See, that's a tough one for me because I kind of do, and I don't believe in it because it was that bad. Like, it, you know, inciting a riot.
People died in that riot.
And he has that power. Like, not many people had that power. So for him, I think it's sort of a different herd of elephants. I think for everybody else, generally speaking, you know, if you break someone, let's take for example, Twitter. Let's say you tell a bunch of people to show up and you start a big fucking fight and a bunch of people get hurt. And the reason why you wanted them to show up is because a bunch of white nationalists wanted to beat up a whole bunch of people who are visible minorities, right? That person shouldn't be on Twitter if that's what they're using Twitter for. And I believe they should regulate that, which they have been doing. That's kind of exactly what happened, but, you know, on a government takeover scale. It was like, hey, let's all get together and do this crazy shit. And it's not our fault or Twitter's fault or Instagram or Facebook's fault that there are some seriously stupid fucking people on the other end of these accounts. And it's frustrating because I believe that everybody should have access to it with the exception of like incredibly stupid people, but incredibly stupid people don't even know they're incredibly stupid. They've got Dunning-Kruger syndrome. They're walking around going, no, you guys are all wrong. You guys learn when your bodies explode from getting the fucking vaccine. That's what's going to, and you're like, how is this even possible? How are these people on the same platform and ingesting the same information I am? However, we're never going to prevent that, right? Like, we can't be a preventative society. That's my opinion.
It's weird because I actually don't think that Trump being off Facebook and or Twitter specifically is a free speech issue. We've all heard that old saying, you know, there's free speech, but you can't yell fire in a crowded theater and all that. Well, social media is a crowded theater, and the biggest arsonist in the world was yelling fire all the time. And yeah. I actually think that you can take some of his tweets that happened before January 6th, long before, before the election even. When you have the president of the United States, the sitting president, casting doubt on the legitimacy of the election before the election, you're playing with fire. Like, that's, he got away with a lot of stuff that could have completely got blown out of proportion. So I think that it's not even a free speech issue so much as it's like an incitement to violence issue. And just because it didn't always end up in violence, most of the time it didn't, that doesn't mean that the risk wasn't there because of what this man was saying. You know,
The problem I have is that we could probably point out give me a number, James, how many examples of tweets where he could have been kicked off in the 69. 4 years he was the president?
I would say probably 25 or something like that.
I was gonna say around 25, 30 tweets, right? Yeah. Not 69. And I would say that those tweets probably would have gotten anybody else kicked off.
Right.
So that's the problem I had with it. If you're not holding him accountable for his past transgressions, why does it make sense now to?
I think because he's got 80 million followers and Frankie 28614 has 6. And I think that when you have 80 million followers, that's what's dangerous about it.
With 160 million guns who are willing to show up and whoop some ass like that.
Right.
That's
but it's not the words. It's the reach. Right. Yeah. So the incitement, you can't incite anybody if no one follows you. It's impossible. Bingo. You know,
so let's bring in our guests because it's 3:30 and I happen to love both of these women. They're strong. They're smart. And one for sure, maybe both are contributing factors to Chris Sky being persona non grata. Please welcome our friend Kareem Assad and our new friend Angela Caputo, ladies and gentlemen, from the Breakfast Pig up in Sault Ste. Marie, the Sioux. That's where you are, the Sioux. What a shithole that city is, but really glad you're here.
Great introduction.
Welcome.
Thanks for joining us.
Sorry, we can't hear you. Are you
city's
there?
A shithole.
We can't. So you're gonna have to switch something on your computer.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there we go. Angela Caputo, ladies and gentlemen, the breakfast pig. Here we go. Yeah, yeah. I just insulted your city, but I'm really glad you're here. Sorry about that.
No, I heard you, and I said you're never welcome here, so don't worry. No, I'm kidding.
Well, good. I'm glad you're here. Talked to Angela
earlier in the week.
Does she ever? And of course, Karima, whose new podcast, Karima Rules, Karima's Rules. Debuted here at DeanBlundell.com and across the network to about 25,000 viewers on the weekend. Karima, tell us what you did. How did you get so many viewers on your podcast?
Well, it helps to, I guess, be a walking target. So I strapped a GoPro on my head and attended the latest rally. I mean, up to this point, I've been able to go without anybody, but the past few, I had some unwanted encounters. So I had a crew, let's call them a crew, with me. And yeah, we really just went through the rally. Got approached by a couple of interesting folks, had some conversations and live streamed the entire thing. So it's, you know, I cut and choose little segments after the fact, but the entire thing is up there for anyone who believes that I go and secretly try to instigate. It's literally just me standing there.
It is. And I wish you would do more instigating like that. I was watching it. I watched the whole thing on Saturday and I'm like, instigate, cause a problem, yell at somebody, tell them the truth about their IQ. Let them in. Let them into the truth about how fucking stupid they are. But you don't. And I've got a clip here. And this is kind of, let's get through a couple of clips. This is, well, let's watch this. This is one of the first clips that you sent us to play today. And if you miss Karima's Rules podcast, go to DeanBlundell.com, wherever you find podcasts and check it out. All the videos there. I had to deal with when you attended the Freedom Rally at Trinity Bellwoods. This is fun.
You want to take off that mask and you want to film me so you can create a character? We do all that. Come on, like, what are you even doing here?
I'm here to document. I'm here to document.
This is a serious matter that you're not even taking to heart. You're making a comedy of it. This is a life and death situation.
The comedy happens around me. I'm capturing it.
This is not comedy. This is reality, honey. It's reality.
Do you believe the pandemic is real or no?
Absolutely not. It's
okay.
Absolutely fake.
So we are starting at very different points.
What the fuck was that? And who was that? Because she said she doesn't believe in the pandemic, and then she said it's life and death.
There were a lot, like, I mean, there are a lot of people there who did not believe, who do not believe in the pandemic.
Right.
So pretty much no one I spoke with, you know, and it varies from thinking that it's being exaggerated to thinking that it is part of a global conspiracy.
Yeah. It's got to be at this point, right, fellas? It's got to be a global conspiracy at this point. Like, at no point, like, all of those people can't be wrong, Locke.
I don't know what to fucking say anymore.
Honestly, same. Yeah.
I don't know what to say.
Okay.
There's no side. I can't take a side.
What do you say?
You know, like, can I say something? Because I think that it's easy to find the comedy, the gallows humor in a person saying that. But really, at the end of the day, we have to start having an adult conversation about what we do about a large swath of our population believing that or some form of that, and where that comes from and how to deprogram them. And I mean that in not the Orwellian way, but the, like, listen, guys, like we were talking, who was it that we were talking with last week? And we were talking, I think it was Greenwald or Erskine Smith. And we were talking about having to become quasi reporters because you don't trust the media. Mm-hmm. Well, the media messaging, the political messaging has all been so bad that it's creating the fertile ground was already there, and it's creating people like that. And I don't know what we're going to do about it. I don't really know what a solution is, to be honest.
Can I tell a quick story, Dean?
Yeah, please.
so my mom is a writer. She's quite young. If you knew my age, you'd be shocked, but she had me when she was 16. Her first marriage with my father ended early. And then she met my stepdad, who that didn't last very long. And then she met this guy. His name is Carl. And Carl is what I would refer to as an intellect. He is a very, very smart man. And he's in his 60s. And he has what I would refer to as a functioning drinking problem. So he's an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. He also smokes, I think, about a pack of cigarettes a day. He does a lot of walking, so I think he thinks that the walking offsets any of the issues that he has with smoking and drinking, okay? Carl is not a dumb man. Yeah. He spends all of his free time either walking, drinking, smoking, and reading. He is very well read, okay? I know this because I've spent numerous nights with him getting drunk, okay? Carl thinks that the vaccine will kill him.
Yeah.
And he hasn't taken it. And I said to him the other day on the phone, I'm like, well, it's not like you're at risk. You're an alcoholic. You smoke too much and you're in your 60s. You should be fucking fine, Carl. There are people out there that have very extreme opinions about what we're dealing with that aren't fucking Karen at the anti-mask rally in Mississauga. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's and James has got a point. I don't even know. Like, all I do now is I use humor to offset my frustration because I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how to have even a conversation with my mom's boyfriend. They've been living together for 25 years or something. Like,
well, because
him.
Yeah, it's really fucked up.
Did we lose Dean?
That was such a lost pause.
There he is.
Sorry. There we go.
I think we lost Dean. Yeah.
Isn't it almost like a situation that where, you know, you're trying to document this? Like, you go there this last weekend. You're trying to document how unbelievable the whole thing is, right? It's not like you're trying to get anybody. It's not like you're there to, you know, look for really bad actors or agents. The reason you're going, if I'm not mistaken, is that it defies logic. All of these people that stand there, the rhetoric that they spew where they tell you, no good, it sucks, you can't be here, get out of here. All of those people, every single one of them, to a man or to a woman, doesn't understand basic reality, like isn't really even here. Is that not the vibe that you get from those people? That's the vibe that I get.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal. And I think that that's, you know, not an unfair description. I've said it before that there are legitimate grievances that underlie many people's frustration, right? Like, mostly everyone has had a really bad time with the pandemic and to varying degrees. So I get it. People are scared and confused and frustrated. And from my vantage point, susceptible to theories and ideas that are not based in reality and quite dangerous, actually.
They all think you're crazy for not believing that there is some mass conspiracy. And that's our starting point.
Yeah.
So where do you go from there?
Well, and there's the question, that's right? It's one thing for people to believe that X is X and Y is Y. But now what we have are people like the crazies that we're talking about that believe X is Y coming after people like Karima trying to destroy her business by killing her reviews. Our friend Angela Caputo, who's on the screen there, who owns the Breakfast Pig, she wouldn't give Chris Skye and his troop of fucking idiots free breakfast a couple of weeks ago. So you know what they did? They went on Yelp and every single review they could find and tried to sewer her business. So it's not just that they're fucking ridiculously stupid, and it's not just that the reality they live in is not objective whatsoever. But Angela, these people are coming after other people that are just trying to sustain some kind of business like you or some kind of life and trying to make things work in the same time that everybody's going through. Like, isn't that the fucking ultimate frustration?
100%. And for me, I was just shocked that these people actually existed. I thought it was just like such a small number. I didn't realize that there were so many of them and that they had the ability to all get together and do this sort of thing. I've also found, I think, that Facebook has been a really scary, sad kind of place because it's a really easy platform to make fake profiles and do these kinds of things. So I was getting threats of like, we're going to burn your business down through Facebook. So it's been very interesting to see the different media and how different people sort of respond. Like CBC Radio picked up the story. And from that, Canadians coast to coast have been sending money. The phone at the Breakfast Pig started ringing off the hook. People just wanting to speak to me to say thank you for standing up to Chris and speaking my views. And we've raised over $2,000 now for our local food banks thus far. And that's from people coast to coast just saying like, yeah, thanks for saying this guy is a moron and trying to stop him from inciting violence across the country.
So when, how did it start? Angela Caputo joins us. She's with Kareem Assad, who has a show here called Kareem's Rules. Kareem was out on the weekend highlighting the idiots. We're talking to Ange Caputo, the owner of the Breakfast Pig and the Sioux, about how those same fucking idiots tried to destroy your business. But take us through the start of this. Was it that called you? Like, who called and what did they ask for? And then when you told them to go fuck off, what did they try to do to you?
So, it was an organizer who's since actually been charged with organizing an event, Sault Ste. Marie Police. Yeah, Sault Ste. Marie Police, they did not mess around with this. They have laid three charges already in our one protest that garnered about 100 people. Three people have $10,000 charges pending. But anyway, I received a phone call, and the person asked for me specifically, which was weird because they were calling the Breakfast Pig. So I said it was me, and he just said, Chris Guy's coming through, and I was hoping you could provide him and three members of his crew with a meal. And I was super confused because I'm not a fan of Chris. I think he's insane, and I think his views are really dangerous. So I just said, like, are you asking me to provide them with free food? And he said, yes. And I'm like, well, why would I do that? And he said, because he's traveling the country fighting for our freedoms on his own dime.
Oh, my God. I was just joking when I said freedom. But he literally
no,
said
so they,
no, they tossed it around.
A restaurant that had been closed, like we haven't been open to full capacity in over 14 months at that point.
Yeah.
So you're calling me to get a free meal for a dude that's rolling in a Land Rover. Like, are you serious?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a no. That was a hard no, Ange.
I wish you would have taped that.
I wish I would have taped a lot of it, honestly. But some parts of me, I'm actually happy to forget how mean these people have been. I have big shoulders. I'm good. I can take it. But friends and family were just like beside themselves. Like, how are you handling this? You know, people were like, fat, you're a fat, see you next Tuesday, calling me a bitch. You know, well, we're going to hunt you down. You are a communist, all this kind of shit, right?
A communist, I mean, a capitalist who's a communist. That's
amazing. Right. But I knew that it was all coming from fake profiles. I was a little worried. I had to hire security for a few nights to watch over the business. But you know what? All in all, I'm so glad that this happened and that I'm able to see the beauty of people across this country because they ran to my defense for the most part.
That's awesome.
It is. It's really wonderful to see. Seriously. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
That's like the Streisand effect, isn't it? You know, like they wanted to destroy her business and then they ended up just making it more popular. I love that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess thank you to Chris Sky for that.
Yeah, and coincidentally, not only did his did Angela Caputo's business, the Breakfast Pig, great place up in the Sioux. We call it the Sioux where I'm from. My boys, my friends, and I who are from the Sioux. It's just called the Sioux, by the way.
Sioux, yeah.
Also, the methadone capital of Canada.
I don't know. Oh, get out! Come on! It's bad across the country.
It is. It is. No, I'm just joking. But it's a beautiful place. It's a gateway to the rest of the world. If you haven't been there, you should. But you bring up a great point.
You have no drug issues in Edmonton.
No, zero. None in Toronto either. Everything's fine here.
We're pretty good in Kildare. It's all shrooms and weed.
Okay. Yeah, it's all natural. But Karima, isn't that his MO? Like, isn't that Chris Scott? Didn't he do the exact same thing to you?
There's a playbook, and yeah, he basically swarms whatever business. He did it to the Fairmont as well, which is maybe a little less egregious, but ironic because the likelihood of any of his people staying at the Fairmont is slim to none.
Yeah, his crowd looks more like a Motel 3 kind of group, right? Not even the 6.
Not even the 6.
No, just Motel 2 or 3.
Now, apparently. Yeah. But yeah, there's a very clear pattern. And, you know, there are torts that relate to online harassment, the sort of intentional harming of a business. And if I'm not mistaken, Angela, at some point he denied that he even made this call. So he's sort of impugning your reputation as well. So there's a lot of things that add up that are not okay and not lawful.
Are you going to sue the dick?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
Look at her. She's not like that.
I just hooked you up with one of Canada's premier advocate lawyers in Karima Saad, sadgivesegot.com. And she's now like, listen, I've had Karima on a bunch of times. She doesn't talk litigious stuff very often, but I'm getting a real litigious vibe from her. Like, I might want to go after this prick. So why don't we talk about that? He tried to ruin your business. He definitely tried to ruin Karima's business. And actually, it had a very negative emotional effect on her just from watching her. You know, and so I think we live in a world where we can go get our pound of flesh from assholes like this when they get the rug pulled out from underneath them. Do we not?
Yeah, so I think he just dealt with this in a really poor way. The guy has zero sort of coping skills. So someone called on his behalf. He could have, when he heard about this, been like, hey, I didn't know that this person had contacted you. I wasn't looking for a handout. I recognize you as a person who does a ton of good in their community. I'm not trying to like toot my own horn, but I really do, honestly. And he could have just been like, listen, I would love to support your business. Like, I wouldn't have taken his money. But instead of doing that, he was like, I'm going to put this bitch on blast. Yeah. And look what's happened to you. Like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
So he's very Trump-esque in, like, this very small way. I know you guys were talking about Trump and him being banned and how you don't really agree with that, some of you, and whatever. But I think at a certain point, when you don't know how to deal with the world like an adult, you should be treated like a child. You're gone. Bye.
Angela Caputo, ladies and gentlemen, the Breakfast Pig. She nailed it. Yeah, you should. This is Chris. He's now been, by the way, everybody, Locke, he's been completely deplatformed. He's got nowhere to go.
How do you get kicked off of Parler?
I don't know. You got to work hard.
That's unbelievable.
You got to work hard to be a huge piece of shit. But this is Karima, you're going to have to help me out. After he got deplatformed from Twitter, he put up this video telling people to go after you guys. Is that correct?
Yeah, so he got a suspension. I don't think he's permanently banned as far as I know, unless that's changed. But yeah, one of his cronies, I hadn't even reported him. Like, I was blocked because he lost the flame war. So
you can tell that you're a wrestling fan. That's what I
tapped out.
Yeah, did he ever? Yeah. But this is the video that he put up. And this goes to what we're talking about with Ange and with Karima. This fits the MO, which is I got fucked, so let's fuck a bunch of other people who think that they fucked me. But this is how weird he is.
Hi, everybody. So I got suspended off Twitter today for 7 days, and it came to our attention that the reason for this is there's a little team of people around, 7 guys or girls, and they are doing mass reporting on my profile. So we want to give them a little taste of their own medicine. So we're going to give you their profiles, and we're going to make this really easy. You just got to click the link, click the little 3 dots, and click report. And we're going to get these guys kicked off of Twitter permanently.
Two things. One, he doesn't look high at all.
Why does he always look so fucked up?
I think he's got some substance issues.
You said that for a long time, actually.
Yeah.
You might be right.
I think I am. I mean,
two things is he looks high as fuck, but B, how's that working, Karima? Have you been shut down yet or?
No, because I don't post misinformation or harass people. So I'm doing splendidly on Twitter.
So growing every day, more followers all the time.
But tell me how you get banned or suspended from a platform and then go use a different platform to try and harass people on the platform that you just got kicked off of. Like Twitter Canada should really be looking into this because that is someone who is persistent and dangerously so because there are morons who listen to him. So.
But this is what I'm saying. The guy like has no cognitive ability to just deal with things the way they should be dealt with, like an adult. He just goes for the jugular every time on people that don't even deserve it. Like I didn't do anything to him. I just said that, you know, I thought he was dangerous and that people in my city should know that he was coming through and that they should know that there was going to be a protest. And he came for me. Now he's coming for Karima and whoever else. And I just want to say one other thing. When he said there are 7 guys and girls like that, like, fuck you about the anger. I'm sorry. I'll stop now, but go ahead.
No, keep
Naked
going.
Cheese Whiz wants to know if he got kicked off of Insta. If you get kicked off of Facebook, don't they just automatically bump you off of Instagram as well?
He actually got kicked off of Instagram, but not off of Facebook. He had a suspension on Facebook.
Okay.
And yeah, the timing of him getting kicked off of Instagram was shortly after he sort of tried to lock horns with me. Probably his account had been flagged for some time, but people saw what was coming out of his camp and started reporting. So if that tipped the scales, then
generally
speaking,
generally speaking, you have to, there's a reason why you get kicked off. Like there's a code of conduct, right? Yeah.
The terms of service,
it's right?
Like you agree to.
Bingo. Yeah. You sign up for terms of service, and if you break those terms of service, then you are subject to it because they are all private companies. I go, and do I agree with deplatforming? No. But listen, I don't have to agree with it to know that I'm subject to the same terms of service that everybody else is, and I need it for business, and so I don't fuck around. Right. Like that's a pretty simple equation. Like if you're going to go after people, you're going to incite violence and you're going to lie and you're going to harass people, that goes directly. It contravenes every single social media outside of Parler terms of service. So, you know, he's his own fucking worst enemy.
Not that I'm trying to defend my comments about Trump, Angela, but the reason why I also against the kicking people off of these platforms is because it doesn't teach them a lesson. If anything, they just use it as fuel for their messaging, right? Like we have a guy in town, his name is Sean, and we refer to him as racist Sean because he keeps getting kicked off of Facebook and he doesn't think he's racist.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is he keeps getting kicked off of Facebook for racism.
And you know what people do with that is then they'll say it's a concerted effort to come after me.
Yeah.
And it's not that, or they've done something wrong multiple times, right?
Yeah. You know, but that's like for sure the narrative they try to take. But I think that like deplatforming historically, historically, as long as social media has been around, has mostly been sort of levied against groups without real political power. And so there are complaints made against them, and then they're taken off, and it can be very harmful in that way, where social media is effectively a forum for people to communicate across borders and distance, right, etc. But when you deplatform someone, you're stopping the spread of their ideas. And if the spread of someone's ideas are harmful, now then there's the question of who is the arbiter of that, and how do we decide what is harmful or what isn't? And that's a valid question to grapple with. But I think some cases are clearer and more egregious than others. And I think Trump is an example, and I think Sky is an example.
Yeah, and the Trump example, actually, I just read in, I don't know, I think it was The Atlantic or something, that the deplatforming of Trump really hurt him. Like, did you all know that he put out his blog last Tuesday? Right? He's apparently
from
he's
the gotten, desk of Donald Trump. Yes.
Right. And but he's gotten, like, in a week, he has less traffic than he used to get per tweet. So yeah, it has worked with him, and it's probably worked against Chris Sky's interest as well.
And there's the, I forget his name, Mino Yiannopoulos or something.
Like, Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yeah, that guy, he was after he got booted, you know, Rebel being demonetized is probably a blow for them. So I think that it is a valid tool and mechanism, especially, like, it seems to me that people aren't really equipped to handle the internet or social media, or to entertain thoughts without accepting them. And then people double down once they've bought into whatever it is they buy into. And it goes to what you were saying, Lachlan, about deprogramming and what do we do with that?
Because, well, and again, I don't think that it's helping us bridge the divide. I think it's just making it worse. And I want to make sure I say this out loud. If somebody is doing anything hateful, they deserve to be kicked off, right? Like, if they're inciting violence, if somebody stands to get hurt from something they've posted, I'm 100% for them being deplatformed. I'm talking about the concept as a whole, about kicking people off and having I'm not sure I trust that it's the right thing to do to quiet this message. I think it makes it worse. I think these people are empowered. I think it actually gives them more fodder and more fuel for their fire. And it's making
I think that's true within their own sort of little base, but then you're taking away their megaphone or their amplifier and their ability to reach new people, right? Mm-hmm. So yes, it fuels the conspiracy in their own sort of, like how we saw Chris think that the Rogers nationwide outage was an attempt to silence him, and people believed it.
Still my favorite one. It's still my favorite. Chris guy. Video. He puts out a video like no one can use their phone for like 20 hours. And Chris is like, Chris puts out a video. He's like, all of a sudden now I can't use my phone. Rogers is coming. I'm like, it's a countrywide outlet to fucking our outage to 11 million people, you dumb cock.
Yeah, he's like, managed to put out that video. So how silenced are you? Not silenced enough for me.
But you see how Trumpian he really is, right? Because really at the end of the day, I don't want to diagnose him as like a narcissist or whatever, but he has all the qualities of a pretty unfettered narcissist. Like he doesn't seem to be doing it for the cause. He's doing it for the attention. Everything is designed to get people to either give him attention, whether it's like sympathy for getting busted or whether it's like, you know, cheering with their foam fingers because he's saying something about the COVID and the vaccines. Like, it's all about him. It has nothing to do with the issue. You remember when he was doing that thing saying, just say no? That's what he thinks about every single night before he goes to sleep if he's not doing hard narcotics.
Yeah, just so you know. Well, listen, what he's done is, and I would love to float this to this group of very bright people, but
I'll leave.
You're in. isn't it the monetization of victimhood? Like, isn't that what we're talking about here? Are we not talking about a guy like Chris going up to other people who consider themselves victims in the system, right? Consider themselves hard done by forlorn Canadians whose government hates them. So what he does, and he does it so well, and a lot of people in that space, like Ezra Levant from Rebel News, who's blocked me since before I fucking read anything on Rebel News. This guy blocked me before I knew who he was because I knew he hated me, right? He just fucking hates people that tell the truth. So, like, when Rebel got deplatformed from PayPal over the weekend, I laughed my dick off, first of all. And after I stopped laughing my genitals off, all I could think to myself was, finally, they've hit them where it fucking hurts, which is into that victimhood financial wallet. Because victimhood pays. Standing up to other people and saying, you're the victim, I'm the victim, come with me. As collective victims, what we're going to do is we're going to show the world, man. And all of a sudden, everybody starts getting arrested. Angela's not handing out free breakfast at the breakfast table. Right? Karima's not following these morons on a scooter with a GoPro attached to her beautiful hat. Like, all of a sudden, we go back to the way the world used to be, which was you're accountable for your mistakes, you're accountable for the truth, you're accountable for a lie, all the things that come with living a life full of virtue and values, right? Some actual decent values. But we don't have that. And I was listening to James talk to Steve Paikin, which is a great interview on Blackball just before this one. And Steve said, we're totally cool with shame now. Like if I'm Chris Sky, the knowledge of me being the freedom fighter, running down a hill, running away from the fucking police the day I got arrested, that's terrible luck for a freedom fighter, right? But he has no shame, so he doesn't give a fuck because he gets to sell hats for $120 and then sign them for people at these events. He gets to sell T-shirts and sell them for $200. He is selling autographed T-shirts at these events for $200, $200 in the name of freedom. So he's really monetized and capitalized on victim mentality. And I think it's great. What were you going to say there, Ange? I see you puckering your comment.
I'm confused when people say that he's raising money for freedom. Where does that money go? Because, like, when someone sends me money, I say it's going to our local shelter, and that's where the money goes. So when he says, or like goes this Adamson barbecue character
goes to them,
what
it goes to them?
Because it just goes to them.
Yeah,
someone's got to pay the lease for the Land Rover.
Yeah.
Okay, and so people are just cool with like that money going to them, and they just think that's good.
Ange, listen,
you ever been to church?
No offense. Yeah. Have you encountered some of these people? You could tell them that their money was going to be put on a golden boat and sailed off the edge of this flat earth, and they would go, good for me. Good for me. I'm good. I'll give some money because that guy just said the magic words. He says freedom. It's monetizing victimhood. That's exactly what it is. And he's done a great fucking job.
I learned something about narcissism, and James brought that up, and Chris Sky is, have we talked about that, James? We've talked about the fact that he shows raging signs of narcissism, right?
Yeah, we talked about it in a way where it was like we were diagnosing him with some mental illness, but I don't think he's mentally ill. I don't know if narcissism is mental illness because I think he's in control of his faculties, right?
Yeah. So I have a narcissist in the family, and it's not me. Before you guys decide to jump on that train,
asking for a friend here. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I have a true
I have a friend named Cochlin Crotch that has a problem with things. I know him a little bit.
Okay. So this family, a member of mine, is on my mom's side, and he is a full-blown narcissist. So I've grown up with this and heard my mom use this term for years. And then when Trump was on the scene, I remember telling people, this is, if you don't understand this, this is narcissist. Like, it's a narcissist traits, right? And then I worked with one quite closely back at the Bear. And people are the problem with narcissistic behavior.
You say I worked with one, like these guys are aliens.
They're fucking aliens.
I worked with one of these people.
No. People know what I'm talking about. I am talking about full blown narcissists. Yes. Yeah. And we just said somebody call it out on the chat line. Okay. Here's the thing. And this is the thing you have to realize, and it's hard to realize because everybody wants a reason for somebody's for the things they do, okay? And at the end of the day, narcissists do not give a fuck what you think as long as you're paying attention to them. It's their number one priority when they walk into a room. They just want your attention. That's it. It can be negative. So people go, why did he do that? I don't understand. Why did he pull his cock out in the middle of a fucking staff meeting? And you're like, and everyone is sitting there trying to figure out why he does these strange things. And I kept yelling, it doesn't matter. He doesn't fucking care. He just wants the attention. That's all it is. That's all it is. And that's what happens with these people. They're fucking hardwired that way. And it's from childhood.
Can you just
paying attention to
that? Feed into that, right? That becomes then. I mean, there's the dopamine effect when you get a like for kind of the average person. So if that's something that you know you feed off of, that can be really unhealthy.
Hmm.
And there's a.
I think in general, it's wrong. It's unhealthy to walk around pulling your wiener out of your pants at staff
meetings. Dude, I can tell you stories about this guy.
But imagine,
dude, they've already outed who you're talking about in our chat.
Oh, yeah, I've talked about this on the air.
And then after they mentioned him, someone's like, I heard he pulled it out at a store. Ha ha.
He did. Cabela's. He waved his dick in the fucking bait section to a mom and her daughter and said, hey, are you guys looking for bait?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
And everyone...
That's criminal.
He got away with it because everybody was like, why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. Does anybody know why he did this? Come in here. Let's have a meeting. Let's all talk about how should we punish him? It doesn't fucking matter. He doesn't give a fuck. This is the same thing with Chris Scott. Trump doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't care what kind of attention. It just needs to be focused on him. That's it. Yep. And that's narcissism.
I know, but they seem to be able to harness this power of like when Trump got COVID and people were like kind of laughing about it. And then his followers were like, really, you're laughing about him being sick?
Laughing hard.
Nope. But, you know, then he was doing all his press conferences and like breathing heavy and hardly able to walk. And people on the left felt bad for him, even though, you know, we knew he was a bad dude and whatever, people still had empathy.
Yeah.
They know that. They feed on that.
Where were these people?
Yeah, which ones? I don't know any of those people. No.
Because I'm certainly not from the left, but I'm certainly not from the right either. And I was literally saying things like, you know, if he died, the world would probably be a better place. Like, you know,
the entire top row of this podcast,
taking him off Twitter.
Yeah. The entire top row of this podcast was literally cheering for it. So
Yeah.
Well,
you know, I think the general consensus was people still were like, you know, I hope he's okay. We're sorry that this happened. And it's like, well,
you need better friends, Angela.
Yeah, you're
so much nicer than we are too.
Yeah.
Oh my
god! Yeah. What I forgot to mention about the Sioux is everybody's very forgiving and nice.
We're all Canadians here. Come on, you're forgiving.
I took him in the celebrity death pool we have on our show almost like religiously for the entire 4 years he was on.
You're all like, I wish he was dead, and then you're like, oh, but it's so terrible that he got banned from Twitter.
We don't wish he was dead. We just recognize that the world would all of a sudden become just a little bit better if he died. That's a totally different thing, I think. It's not the same thing.
I don't like the guy. I know.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, listen, if you're going to make fun of someone for wishing someone's dead, right here, sister, you can paint me with that brush. Because not only was I not unhappy with him being deplatformed, but also happy. I was literally glued to CNN when he came down with COVID going, please be the day.
They threw please a cocktail at him and saved that fat fucker's life too.
Oh, like, I know. Yeah. Big time.
There's no way he should have lived through that. No. Like that McDonald's eating son of a bitch should have been dead.
Ladies, you just had Arby's before the show.
Listen, I work out and I walk a lot.
Karima Rules. You can find her on Twitter. You can also find her on Instagram. Sadvocacy.com is the name of her website. She is an outstanding lawyer, landlord tenant lawyer. She's an advocate. She's also the executive director of Normal Canada and a massive cannabis advocate. So we see eye to eye on almost everything. Right here. See, I don't know, almost everything. And Angela Caputo from The Breakfast Pig. If you ever find yourself in the Sioux, go to The Breakfast Pig. You are a wonderful human being. I checked out your menu the other day. It looks great. I know you got a fish fry, a weekly fish fry coming up. But yeah, go to The Breakfast Pig and give this woman your time and business. She's lovely. Thank you very
road
much.
Trip, lady, road trip. Here. It was nice meeting you, Angela. And I will come to your restaurant and pay for a fucking meal.
I hope so.
Bring a caravan. Bring a caravan.
We'll bring a bunch of people, like a hockey tournament. See you soon. Thanks, Karima. Thanks, Ange.
Thank you.
All right. There you go, ladies. And this guy's been waiting.
Hey, look, some parts unknown. Look at him.
Looky who it is.
This bit should be called Still Alive.
How y'all doing?
How many dead hogs can you see on the floor amongst your guns and Texas?
Hey, I'm back to civilization. I'm out of the Central Texas region, if you will. There's no more hog killing going on. You'll be happy to know, James. Been doing my mushrooms every day, and every time I take my little dosage, I just this one's for James every morning. So you're always on my mind, James.
Wow, you took 6 grams for me. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You know, we actually had a conversation about you before you got on because James wants to record a podcast with you, shroomed up. and Lachlan was really standing up for you and your limited experience with shrooms. And it's like, you can't do shrooms with James because James is a 6 grammer and he's going to kill Bonzi. And his goal was to stick up for Bonzi. Yeah, he really was. But you were a topic of conversation before you came on because he doesn't want James to kill you with shrooms.
Well, listen, it's not that I'm inexperienced with shrooms. I used to do a plethora of shrooms back in the day. And it all stopped in 2009 when I saw the kid, if you will, 22-year-old, get hit and killed by the train. And ever since then, I was scared to do mushrooms because I didn't want to have the flashbacks, just the memories of it. And so I was kind of been scared to do shrooms ever since. But doing ayahuasca twice is kind of helped. And then I have done mushrooms once. I think I told a story just recently where I took 2 grams of chocolate mushrooms kind of by accident, kind of on purpose. And man, that sent me into a tizzy for 6 hours. I had to call my kids to come over and kind of emergency babysit dad for 6 hours. So, because I thought I was going to the loony bin. I really did. It was quite the trip.
And this is why I said to James, based on that story, and I remember you telling it, I was like, James, you are the type of guy that could talk me into doing 6 grams. Bonzi's going to do this, and then you're gonna ruin him. You're going to ruin this poor kid.
But here's what I think. All joking aside, because it's really easy to joke about it, but I am the person that you want to be with when you're on shrooms, because the culture of psychedelics gets sort of put. You know how like in politics, it gets always poisoned by that little fringe. Well, shroom culture, whatever you want to call it, is sort of like that too, because the joke is that I would get really high with Bonzi and he would be freaked out and I'd just be laughing at the creation that I just did. But that's not what would happen. What would happen is
if that Bonzi smile took, fucking if says Bonzi, more than anything if, you're gonna no, fucking say right now.
No, but listen, bastard. but if Bonzi and I were to trip out together and he showed any signs of feeling uncomfortable, I know how to bring him down to a place of like, hey Bonzi, it's just the shrooms. Just look at the visuals. Nothing bad is happening to you. I would not be the guy that's being like, Bonzi, blah, and being all like stupid. You have to be with someone that you trust can bring you off of that ledge. And I can do that.
I'd be the other guy.
You off the ledge in a second, Lachlan. I would make the worst trip you've ever had in your life.
You know worst what I wanted
would,
to do?
It would be so bad that you would start listening to ministry again. That's how
you
bad
know what I wanted to do? We had that Pink Floyd laser light show come to town. This was years ago. And I went to the boss. I said, I got a fucking great idea. Cause we were hosting it. We were doing the intro or something. So it was me and James, the little guy, the midget. And I said to the boss, I said, I want to put him in a diaper and I want to pour blood all over him. And I want to send him running through the middle of the auditorium and just have them screaming.
That is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
That would be great.
And he's the boss is like, we're not doing that. Do not do that. You can't your boss do sucks. That.
Oh, shit. So this, James, I am not. Yeah, I'm not opposed.
You didn't do it. Hold it. Hold it. You didn't do the skit. He that's shut a great, the door. That's a great skit.
Yeah,
he shut the.
Do you know how many fucking get out? Do you know how many shroomed up middle aged wieners would have absolutely had a fucking seizure watching James run through the crowd in a diaper covered in blood?
And hey, Bonzi, we need you to bring hog blood.
Yeah, I could send up the blood. I got you.
Still my okay. best never come to fruition idea. Oh,
man. I wanted to do a radio bit called Name That Stereotype.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Where we would give you hints about certain races or kinds of people or sexual preferences, and they would be all negative, and then you'd have to guess. You know what the negative stereotype was, and it, strangely enough, got shut down.
But Bonzi said that just now that you okay, so you would do that, I would feed you the, whatever amount you would want to be fed. We would do it on empty stomachs with a bowl of applesauce, and I think we should just sit down and talk. I'm telling
sounds
you,
like a lovely like, evening.
Oh, it sounds great.
No, I actually
we'd
think
sit
it
down
would
with
be,
some mushrooms and a bowl of applesauce, and we'd take our shirts off, and then we'll put on some.
Well, I couldn't take my. I can't take my pants off because Bonzi's afraid of snakes. So,
here we go. Jesus. Listen, I am fully down for this adventure. I could probably cap out at 2 grams. I don't think we need. Nobody needs to see me on any more than that, and I do think I would be okay because. Of your intellectual, prowess, if you will, you would be able to bring me down. I think the conversations that we could have would keep me on a pretty steady keel, and I'm not opposed to it. I'll leave it at that.
Let's do it. Let's get a shroom cast going on like the weekend where we give you guys the keys to the kingdom, and then we just sit like Locke and I'll sit and watch, and you guys can talk, and we'll see
and
how
I
it goes.
I have a great title: Tripping with Bonzi.
There you go. Literally.
I just came up with that.
Look at you. Good work. Good work, champs.
Bonzi, last week you let it slip that you were a swinger for a couple of years.
Yeah. I was hoping you'd forget about that. Actually, it was the next, because we went to the hockey game that night. Yeah. And the next, I think it was the next day or 2 days later, I was like, oh, thank God that kind of slipped by the wayside there,
it
but
did.
Apparently
no.
not.
No, it did. Yeah, no, so it really did slip by the wayside, didn't it? We did not spend the time necessary to talk about that.
Well, because we were talking about Bill Gates' divorce with Melinda, and apparently new information this week, Melinda not happy about Jeffrey Epstein's relationship with Bill. So we'll see what happens with the Epstein stuff. But my point was, last week when we were talking about it, I'm like, Gates had a girlfriend. I'm like, who wants fucking more of that? And then Bonzi's like, I was a swinger for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden we had to switch topics because we had a guest. So yeah.
I didn't blurt it out like that either.
That's
though,
exactly how you said it. That's exactly what you said.
No, we have
so
to.
So were you full blown swinger, or were you more polyamorous where it was more of a relationship, or did you just like go to a cabin in the woods and bang each other and then go home?
It was a little bit of everything. We were more softcore. There was no dudes weren't allowed to bang. I did it with 2 different girlfriends, and it started off. We go to the clubs in Toronto, actually. Oasis, Wicked. Oasis was a really fun one. I think that was better than Wicked. I found. I mean, there was a pool, hot tub. So you just kind of just
hot tub.
Back it up.
You gotta cook that semen if you really want to experience it.
There's a fucking pool and a hot tub at a swingers joint. That's like totally. It's like a big bowl.
Tell me there wasn't a buffet.
Disease.
No, there was no food, thankfully, but there was about so there's a pool, there's a hot tub, there's all these different feature rooms.
What are we having tonight?
It's a poutine special at Wicked. Let's go. Try it.
You should have them for the sex. Save for the $4.99 buffet.
The buffet came in other forms, if you will.
Okay, so you had, if I'm not mistaken, you had a couple years as a swinger.
Yes, sir.
And were those years confusing? Were they difficult? Like, what are we talking about here?
Listen. So what? I'll be fully honest with you. I got out of the marriage in 2012. It was vanilla. I mean, we were together since like 19 years old. And
once again, let's back that up. I met Monzi because I went through a divorce, and he was going through a divorce at the same time. And correct me if I'm wrong, this has got to be 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
But your wife was a big World of Warcraft person.
Correct. One of those games online. I don't know what it was called.
And was having, like, she was a 15th level wizardess having like an affair with a 12th level Viking.
Something in this game.
And Bonzi's telling me about this in these emails. And I like, this was a listener radio guy thing, right? And I'm like, fuck, that's hilarious. Tell me more. And he's like, oh, you know, I don't know if it's gonna work out. I'm drinking a lot, and she's banging like a mountain troll from a game. And I'm like, what? She's banging a mountain troll.
I'm not sure if they ever met. Truth be told, the guy was from the States.
What I was asking. Wait, they were. Hold on, their digital characters were fucking.
I guess they online fully digital. Like, there was no human contact.
Oh my god,
Monzi, Monzi, so you're like a fucking onion.
That's so funny. Oh my god!
Every week, there's more layers. It's just
holy mother of Christ. So Bonzi's relationship is sewered by a fictional character.
Correct.
Yeah, and so he goes out at 2012. You decide I'm going to play the field and see what's out there. And were you looking to swing? Was that the thing, or did that get dropped in your lap?
Not at all. It kind of dropped in my lap. So I did take a time out from you know, after my marriage ended. And then my first girlfriend was pretty chill and stuff. It didn't last long because she was like the first one out of the gate. But then the second one, she was shot out of a cannon. She was Italian. She was a single mom. And good Christ, she loved to fuck. And that was new to me. I mean, I was having sex 3-4 times a day, getting my dick sucked, and it was this was all like whole new game to me. And then she brought up the whole girl thing, you know, we could play, and I'm like, sounds good to me. Coming off this pure
God
vanilla,
love you, God, and love you, and your crooked Texas flag behind you.
Yeah, Texas, and I put the Canadian one up this time. Yeah. I got a little Canada love up there.
Guys, fucking quit distracting him. I'm in the story.
Yeah, so then we decided to hit up Toronto one night and went to Oasis Sex Club, and it just started from there.
How does that start? Like, when you get in a sex club, like, do you just kind of get a number? Do you put your shoes in the middle of the thing, and then the other partner grabs your shoe? Night?
Well, yeah. There's different bars and different
levels.
Was
there a big lineup to the cul-de-sac VIP?
Was there rice pudding at the buffet?
There was no buffet. Okay. So anyways, we were in one of these rooms, and they got like, every room is different. And we were on one of these kind of bigger couchy bed sort of deals. And we were having fun and just playing and watching around. Like, other people were around, sitting around playing with each other. And this couple just came over, is how the first one started. And the guy said, I would love to watch you go down on my girl. And so I was going down on her while I was two-finger cul-de-sac and my girlfriend, and I made them both come literally at the same time. And I had a crowd of people watching me at this point. And I walked out of there that night just like the old Bonzarelli strut. I was like, yeah, I did that. Not a big deal. And so we had the guy didn't even want to touch my girl, which was great the first time. Anyways, I got both the females off. We went back to our hotel room, had amazing sex. And then we were like, wow, that's fun. And it just kind of kept happening. And then she had a friend that was kind of into playing with us as well. Never got to fuck another girl with either one of them, but everything else kind of went, you know? And we didn't only do sex clubs. We joined a thing online, Swingers Online. And we'd meet at hotel rooms with different couples and play, if you will.
Do you ever get to one of those hookups and you don't like what you see? Maybe there's been some skullduggery with like the profile pictures, and you're like,
luckily that never happened. I mean, you generally, the way it goes online, if you're going to meet at a hotel, you've done your research first. You've had a couple of maybe chats online. Or
what's sex research like? Take us through your sex research.
Well, you can research it, really. I mean, you can delve in. You got to make a profile. Like, it's all pretty legit on there. So,
yeah, no one lies in those, for sure.
Well, I'm not saying they don't lie, but herpes, when you know you're going to hook up with them, you actually do, like, live FaceTime or stuff like that to kind of get a view of what you're walking into, you know? So there was really no surprises for us.
Did any of these turn into, like, pseudo-relationships? Because that's where I think this would go wrong for most guys, where it's like, oh, she wants me to go and take her garbage out now? What the fuck is going on here?
So the second one I was doing it with was turned out to be my fiance. And I found out 6 months into the relationship that 3 days after we got engaged, she was cheating on me with her ex-boyfriend. Now, I found this out 6 months down the road, but it made sense that I went away on a business trip right after one of our trysts, if you will. And my fiance was supposed to come with me. She canceled at the last minute. And then that night, I couldn't get hold of her all night for some strange reason. And she's banging someone else. She was down with that couple having her own private threesome, sans bonzi, because I was out of town on business.
Oh, is that against the rules?
Well, it kind of is. Yeah, it really is. And she kept it secret from me, but I ended up finding out, through the grapevine. Yeah,
but that's your fault.
I have a boring fucking life.
Because you didn't let your wife have sex.
I was too excited.
You didn't let your wife have sex with the men, right? So that you set it up for failure.
Well, almost. I mean, that's an agreement that she kind of made. And only once did she try to change it, and it turned out to be that guy. Now this fella, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm pretty well endowed. I'm not no Smurf cock or anything.
I'm not gonna. This is an opportunity for him to talk about his
hammer
mom.
On him, like you wouldn't believe. I'm not gonna lie.
Did you ever accidentally touch another guy's hammer?
No, was never been that close, thankfully.
Do you get hit with fluid? Do you get some errant fluids?
No. Thankfully, you're that lying. Never happened either. So
oh, yeah. I'm lying big time.
Dude, first thing you brought up was the pool.
Yeah, I've been in the pool, but
did you open your mouth in the pool?
No, hell no. Yeah, you don't go underwater in the pool. It's not like the girl did though. She gave me a little mouth love under the water, if you will.
Yeah, that's a gamer right there, right? That's someone.
Never went in
afraid.
The hot tub at the swingers club. The pool I did. I mean, that's more. Bigger, heavy chlorinated.
Shouldn't be a problem.
Around.
The water's
but yeah,
colder.
I did live that life for a couple of years. Not
wow. Wow.
It was fun.
That's just too much.
Never,
like,
fucking
overload.
God for people like you, Bonzi. I swear to God.
Yeah. And then the only other time, not really, but when I lived in Nicaragua for 3 years, the Nica girls are horny a dime a dozen there. And I had a couple nice threesomes in Nicaragua. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
the Nica women like to get after it and keep the white boy happy because they think we're all like multimillionaires if you got white skin. So it was it was pretty good.
Where'd we find this guy?
I don't know, but I look forward to every week.
The comments right now are hilarious. I don't know who Lisa means by saying I wouldn't let these people near my cat, but she's probably right. Also, German Aguirre, we're totally going to do shrooms together if we can work that out, because I'll do shrooms with anyone. And Bonzi, you're invited to that one as well. So
awesome. Yeah. I'm down.
Oh, my God.
Well, I wouldn't let these people near my cat. I wouldn't let these people. Look at that. Now, that's Lisa.
Is that innuendo or does she literally mean her pet? I can't tell.
I think she wouldn't mind if I met her cat, if you will.
There you go.
I'm sure stuck. A good time.
Are you still in Texas, by the way?
Yeah, so I'm back at I'm back in the room where I was held captive a couple weeks. I'm back in Austin, Texas, at my buddy's after a full week in the middle of Texas, living like a real Texan, if you will. Had a nice chew right before the podcast, a chew and a smoke. And
have you tried to find Alex Jones yet, who lives near Austin?
Well, it's impossible. He's speaking of booted off social media. He is not on any platform anymore either. He's not allowed. So it's damn near impossible to find this cat.
I just think he can't have his account. I mean, if you posted an interview with him, I don't know if they would just take it off Twitter or something. Like, it's not his.
James, they would.
Even if he doesn't say anything, like, you know, like the dead
joke. He can't come on and not say anything. You know, he just gets shot out of a cannon worse than I ever am. Like, he would just go off. I'd one thing and the trigger word and he'd be off to the races. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to find Gordy Johnson from Big Sugar. He lives in Austin. Mm-hmm. I did a great interview with a band called
The Reverend. I have Gordy's number.
Oh, do you really? That would be dope, dude, if you could hook that up. I mean, look.
Dave Chappelle's in Austin right now.
He just did Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I've been text or Twittering Joe Rogan. I think we're up to about 10 times now on Twitter.
Just not responding. I can't believe it.
Yeah, he hasn't responded. I'm fucking bullshit. As soon as he gets a dose of Bonzi, he'll be like, fuck, I should have answered you the first time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I don't have his Austin number.
No.
I have another number. It's a Canadian number.
Yeah, we can get in touch with him. We'll get in touch with Gordy Johnson from Big Sugar. He's a good dude. So did you interview a band yesterday or a couple days ago? Is that what I'm understanding? And actually a really good band. What was the name of the band again? The Reverend?
The Reverend Few.
The Reverend Few.
That is a band. That's a great band.
So he interviews his band, and I've got a video clip from it. It's actually pretty cool. Where was this? You're on their front stoop at their
front porch in Austin, Texas. Yeah, they live in a kind of a hipster neighborhood, and they put lawn chairs all out, and their neighbors come from all over. The front lawn was packed, and everybody stayed after the show. I went up on the front porch and interviewed them. They've been doing this for over a year now due to the pandemic, and I was interviewing them. This happened.
Yeah, have a look. Let's
mean and anticlimactic and all of that, but I think at the same time it was like, cool, you wrote a bunch of songs and
oh no
Hugo,
well, that dog's in trouble.
Oh boy,
keep talking, I'll go.
Wrote a bunch of songs so that you can pay for your new window that your big great Dane just broke. Way to go, Hugo.
Wow.
But yeah,
what the fuck happened there? I watched that this morning. All I heard was like your dog disappears. I hear like a glass pane break, and then I don't hear you apologize. I don't hear it at all, not once.
Well, I didn't break the fucking window first off, but I did apologize profusely after we were off air. But so what happened was my dog was up on the front porch with me, and he decided to do a little wander because he could hear the dog. They have 140-pound Great Dane that was inside. And after about an hour and a bit, he starts to get a little antsy in there and he wants to see mom and dad. So he started whining and complaining. Well, Tucker walked over to the window to see what was doing.
Yeah.
And I think the dog, the Great Dane, could sense that my dog was there. Next thing you know, boom. It almost like if I literally thought that Great Dane was coming through the window to eat my dog.
No shit.
Scared the shit out of all of us. It was pretty wild.
What was doing. Just, I want to point that. See what was doing. Is that a Texas thing?
I don't know, or just one of many Bonzierisms or whatever you call them.
Bonzierisms.
Yeah. Bonzarelliisms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was cool. I mean, it's a great band. The Reverend Few is a good band.
Check them out on YouTube, Spotify. They just released a new album right at the start of the pandemic in March 2020, and they're fantastic. So it's the two of them, and then they have a drummer and a bass player, a female bass player. Right now it's just the two of them doing the porch thing, but they're just starting to do gigs again down here in Texas because it's opening up a bit more. So fantastic band and great people too. Check them out.
Where are you off to next?
This Thursday, we're just waiting. My Montana license plates are coming in and they'll be here Thursday, and we're hitting the road to Corpus Christi. Actually, I'm bringing my buddy here, Chris. He's going to come down and do some filming with me. And so it's about three and a half hour drive in the bus. And we're going to hit up Corpus Christi and see what's cooking down there.
Good for you. Well, listen, I've enjoyed watching you make your way across the country. You know, it's using that term loosely. I think you've been to 4 out of the 25 states you wanted to get to, right?
You're never getting out of Texas.
Well, I mean, Texas is a huge, huge state. There's so much to do here. I've got a bunch of friends. Yeah, that's them right there. And I still plan on being in Texas for a while. We still got San Antonio. We got Houston, maybe Galveston. We've also got up into the north. I want to hit Amarillo. There's some really cool stuff up in the northwest right before you head into New Mexico. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to do it all. I've never been here, and I love it. And I'm in no hurry, dude. There's nothing to get back to.
Yeah, it's your life right now, right? Like, that's kind of the cool thing. I mean, we have some fun. We talk about some weird shit, and you do some dumb stuff. But, I mean, this is what you wanted to do. This is the experience you wanted, and I think it's fucking great to watch, so I appreciate it.
Arby's. I appreciate the support. Hey, Arby's, dude, have you ever heard of Whataburger, Locke? Yeah. It's down here in the Texas area and stuff, and it's destroyed any burger I've ever had in my entire life so far.
Yeah, that won't matter because he's got a thing for Arby's. Like, you know, I watched him eat one before we came on. He didn't know whether he should eat it or stick his dick in it. That's how much he fucking loved this dumb sandwich.
I got an interest in watching him eat it.
That's another awesome thing. I'll definitely be hitting up the Alamo as well. I'm not sure I'll piss on it a la Ozzy. Speaking of Ozzy, though, I was at a bar that Ozzy's been at, that famous country bar I was telling you about. I missed Chicken Shit Bingo on Sunday night because we stayed with the band after. And had some cocktails and stuff and had some great chats and stuff. And I apologize profusely about their window. And I am sending the money, by the way, via Venmo, to help donate to fix the broken window.
That's a nice Canadian thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, for sure it is.
Yeah.
Well, listen, safe travels and let's hook up again either at the end of the week or early next week, because, you're doing some great work down there.
Thanks. I appreciate the support, everybody.
All right, guys. Good at Bonzi Live is where you can find him on Twitter. Tripping with Bonzi on YouTube as well.
God, that guy's lived a life, hasn't he?
Oh my God.
Did you not? That's why I was pissing my pants laughing, because Bonzi's going on about like picking up chicks at Oasis and making
I made both girls come at the same time. Like, yeah. I was like, whoa.
And quietly from the nether regions of this podcast, Lachlan Cross, a.k.a. Cochlan Crotch, he says this, and I quote, "Oh, I had Arby's today." I was like, yeah, me too. Yeah. I had Hungarian salami on a cracker this afternoon.
Oh, and Bonzi didn't even pick up on it.
No.
Didn't get it. That's because
he's like the dude has lived, and I'm not joking you when I tell you that was my introduction to him. It was like I was getting divorced. I was talking about it openly on the radio because I used to call my ex-wife my roommate.
You know what? 10 years. Dean, I remember this now. The story, I had a flashback because I used to try to find your shows and listen to your stuff back in the day, and you were talking about a guy that his marriage ended because she fell in love with another guy and their digital characters were fucking on. I swear to God, I heard you on the air one talking about this.
Yeah.
Okay. What, yeah. Someone explain what happens to your psychosis when the video game character that you're using becomes an extension of yourself? Like, holy shit. Isn't that just addiction?
Ask everybody that's on Twitter for 5 hours a day. It's the same fucking thing.
I think it is World of Warcraft that is. Somebody might be able to help us that's listening, but I think you do create these avatars. Mm-hmm. And James, man, there's people out there that stay on these games for hours and hours at a time.
Days.
Yeah.
I don't. Like, there are people that wear diapers like they're old people at a fucking casino just because they don't want to get up because they might have sex with an elf that they met in the hinterland.
Yeah,
in the game.
I don't know. I don't know if what you guys have, like, what your experience.
That's who Bonzi lost to, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, right. He had a hammer, that Care Bear. You know?
Yeah, and Bonzi's like he's emailing me this stuff while I'm getting divorced, and he's getting divorced, and he's telling me about it, and I'm like, fuck, this is like too unbelievable, right? But he was always honest about it, which is why, and we kind of kept in contact for years, and now he's back doing this. He's just, you know, that what you see there is freedom. What you see in my friend Bonzarelli, that's a man that's like, I don't give two fucks anymore. I'm just gonna go out. Like, I respect, like, can't get better when your wife is cheating on you with a fucking virtual character. It's not that great.
I respect the game for sure. But what I'm asking though is that when it comes to gaming itself, I stopped when I saw my friends, like, as 18-year-olds pump quarter after quarter after quarter into, like, Mortal Kombat and shit. I took a mental picture of that and I went, no, I don't want to do this anymore. And I just stopped playing video games as, like, a 19-year-old. Sometimes I would play, like, NBA Jam or hockey at someone's house if they had it, but I haven't had a console since, like, 1994. And I think I made the right call because I have an addictive personality. And I don't think I would have been able to handle it.
I don't think so, dude. Like esports is worth $200 billion now. Like, you got 13-year-olds making $6 million a year playing video games. Maybe
still, I don't want my son playing video games.
Me neither.
I'm so glad I didn't have boys. The very first gaming system we got, my girls were 10, 11, 12 years old. It was like 10 years ago. I was in my 40s.
Was it a Wii? Because you wanted to be in shape. That's right.
Thing we've ever gotten, and we got it for Christmas, and we have like bowling on it.
Yeah, and wait till you find out that Deb cheated on you with the big headed tennis icon in the show.
Every time you got an ace, it vibrates the controller.
Ooh. No, but I wanted to play this before we left because it's a video that I watched today, and it literally brought me to my fucking knees in out of laughter. And I had to watch it. Didn't know if I was going to post it. I ended up posting it. It's our biggest post of the day. I'm going to play it without comment, but this is why you don't hire your friends to take your wedding and or engagement photos ever. Who's back in the room? Now we'll stay. I will stay with you. We'll make it to the other side. The love is gone. I'll reach my hand
Oh my gosh. It's a beach. Like,
and the sand kept attacking. The sand kept attacking her, and she's like, "Help, please."
And the music.
And right before he goes to put the fucking ring on her finger, she fucking wipes out. And then she gets on bended knee and she's like, "Whoa, you gotta be fucking kidding me. One more time. This is unbelievable." Then watch for the attack of the rocks.
I almost peed my pants. Is this Coldplay?
Yeah. It's a beautiful moment. It's a beautiful moment, fellas. It's a beautiful moment. Here we go. Watch. So this is the first most important part.
Now watch her get
up. Comes the struggle.
Yeah. Look, she's gonna keep the shot. Look.
I like that she she's being completely ignored by the couple. Hey,
it looks like Leon Spinks.
My side hurts.
Oh man.
But look at her, she's still taking the picture. She's like, I still gotta get what I can.
Gotta get the shot, man.
And her face, her face is covered in sand, and she's spitting sand on her face. But she's like this. I get some of it.
It's always all about her, isn't it?
Hire a pro. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks, Locke. Thanks, James. Thanks, Bonji.
Thank you. I'm going to go check my blood pressure.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Lachlan Cross from 95.7 Cruise FM, at Lachlan Cross on Twitter, at James D. Fiore on Twitter, at blackballmedia.ca as well. That's where you can find him and his great work. And his podcast called Blackballed, which you can find anywhere you get your fine podcasts, including at deanblundell.com. He just did Steve Paikin earlier today. He was actually great. He was great. I thought it'd be boring. Steve Paikin was really, really cool. I really liked him. I liked everything he did. Anyway, have a great day, everybody. Thanks for being part of the show. Don't forget, thanks to our sponsors over Blue Microphones, the official microphone of deanblundell.com. Go to bluemic.com or at Blue Microphones on Twitter. Check out their entire performance center, everything that they have, including these Blue Yeti X mics, which you use, USB mics, preamps built in. You don't need anything else. It's incredible, affordable. They've got all kinds of brands of these microphones, including that World of Warcraft brand. It's a big deal. It's a great big deal, World of Warcraft. Not only do people have virtual affairs, but it's actually a pretty cool game for a lot of people. They love it. Anyway, Blue Microphones and deanblundell.com, part of the Blue Crew. Thanks to Ed at Ed's Fine Imports for his Gitch. Order his Gitch now, and he'll send them to you, four pairs for the price of three. When you use promo code Gitch3, go to edsfineimports.com. Domination.com. It's the official AI that we use to do all of our production here at deanblundell.com. You can use it too. Try it for free today. Go to dmntn.com. And check it out. 70 pieces, 5 minutes, no big deal. Super easy. And our friends at Black Rose Organics, shop.blackroseorganics.com. Send up your medical card on the front page of their website. They'll get you your medical card, and then you can go shopping for the best medicine on the market. And I can tell you that because we work with them, and that was really important to us, and it's important to them too. 30% THC on their garlic sherbet. Go buy yourself one of these medical memberships. $200, easy, $199. You buy one, you get half price ounces. on medicine that works. Instead of $350, you're paying $175. Shop.blackroseorganics.com. Again, better medicine at a better price. Black Rose Organics. Shop.blackroseorganics.com. Whoo! Have a great day, everybody. Big announcement that we made today about the growth of the network. Matt Kundle from Sound Off Podcast, new partner at DeanBlundell.com, will be joining us to talk about the new partnership as we kind of evolve and change. We're happy about that. So that'll be tomorrow as well. And then we've got Nick Kovalis, who's that guy that's going crazy on Twitter. Apparently a good dude, just has some bad moments on Twitter. But he's connected to Doug Ford, so we're going to have a chat with him about life. That'll be on Thursday as well. Lots still to come as well. And wear some masks. Be good to each other. Hang in there. You'll all be fine. We'll see you tomorrow. Sign up for our newsletter at DeanBlundell.com as well, too. Thanks, everybody. Bye. What kind of meat do you want on said submarine?
All of a sudden he's German.
Would you like a cold cut combo or a veal parmigiano?